Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Today we're joining Witness Lee for a message from 1975 in the Book of Romans. And here with us once again to fellowship is Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to the Life Study of Romans.
I'm always glad to be here, Matt.
Today's message, Ron, is going to touch a verse in chapter 1, verse 4, dealing with designation and connected to Romans 8:29, which is where we see the firstborn son and the many brothers. We don't normally think of Christ as the firstborn. I think it's more normal for us to consider him as the only begotten son from John 3:16. What all is transpiring in these verses with the firstborn son and us being the many brothers?
We need to consider all that's revealed concerning the Son of God. The Gospel of John especially speaks of the only begotten Son. John 1:18, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared God. 3:16, God gave his only begotten Son. This expression, only begotten Son, refers to Christ in the unchanging Godhead as the only begotten Son. But elsewhere in the New Testament, such as Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, we read of the firstborn coming into the world. That refers to Christ coming again. And Romans 8:29 speaks of the firstborn among many brothers. Obviously, only begotten indicates there's only one, the unique Son. That's true in the Godhead. But the only begotten Son became the Son of Man, God incarnated in the flesh. And in his resurrection, his humanity was permeated with the essence of his divinity, and he was then designated in his humanity as being the Son of God, as well as in his divinity. So the word firstborn clearly indicates there will be others.
Thanks, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study from Romans.
Would you turn to Romans 1 and read verse 4? And was designated the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness out of the resurrection of the dead. Listen, here it says, Christ in the flesh was designated. It means he was marked out. He was the Son of God, but he was wholly concealed in his flesh. The Son of God is glorious. He was of glory, but all what he was as glory was concealed in the flesh. So he went to the cross and he passed through the process of death and resurrection. And through the process, he was marked out. He was manifested. He was designated. So after the resurrection, he is the Son of God, full of the essence of God's holiness, not only in his spirit, but also in his body. You know, when he was in the flesh before his death, the essence of God's holiness was there in his spirit. But this holy essence was not manifested in his flesh. The essence of the divine holiness was there, concealed in his spirit. But through death and resurrection, this essence has permeated, saturated his whole body of the flesh. Then, in verse 29, this verse continues the foregoing verse. And in the foregoing verse, we are told, God causes all things work together. To do what? To designate you. We all got saved. And the Son of God has been roused into our spirit. And this Son of God is within all of us. We all have this holy essence. Yet, this holy essence is concealed, confined within our natural man, within our flesh, within our what? Humanity. So God has to cause all things to do a process just to transform you, to metabolize you. The organic seed, the organic essence is no doubt in your spirit. And this organic essence has to saturate your whole being, has to permeate your whole humanity. And this permission, I tell you, is just a sanctification. And this is a kind of a designation. It is not just an outward change. No, no, no. Absolutely not that. The outward change concept is religious. The outward concept is something ethical. But the divine concept is not to correct you, but to what? To metabolize you from within organically with Christ himself as a holy essence.
Ron, this matter of designation that we're considering today certainly is a very deep point. First Romans says in chapter 1, verse 4, that Christ in resurrection was designated the Son of God, but he's always been the Son of God. So then, why does he need such a designation following his resurrection?
We're aware of different attempts to understand this, but look at the context in verse 3. Christ there is the seed of David, a descendant of David. That obviously refers to his human genealogy. So these two verses are speaking of Christ, the God-man, and his humanity. And while he was on the earth, he was the embodiment, the incarnation of the only begotten Son. But as the Son of Man, his humanity was not yet part of the divine sonship. But in his resurrection that took place by the glory of God, the spirit of his divinity, the spirit of holiness, saturated and permeated his humanity, thereby causing him to become the Son of God in this second sense. So there was the need for him to be designated the Son of God in this second sense. God had already designated his Son by speaking from the heavens as recorded in Matthew. So that's God's designation. Now, the Son of Man is in resurrection, and Christ has become the Son of God in this second sense, referred to in Acts 13:33. He was born through his resurrection in the sense of his humanity being uplifted into the divine sonship. So to kind of wrap this portion up, Christ has always been and always will be designated in the Godhead as the only begotten Son. That cannot change and will not change. But in God's economy, Christ now is designated the Son of God as the firstborn Son. So that requires a designation of him as the Son, not only in the Godhead with deity alone, but also in God's economy with humanity as well as divinity.
Thanks, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of today's life study.
You just stay here in the church, and I can assure you, even there's no need for you to pray desperately. Oh, Lord, I'm desperate. Oh, Lord, transform me, Lord. Do a work to break me. But let me tell you, whether you pray that way or you don't pray that way, the digestion is going on. The designation is going on.
Yes.
The saturation is going on. Never forget, you have to join, you have to connect Romans 8:29 with Romans 1:4.
Amen.
I told you already this morning, Romans 1:4 is the work of a prototype. But here in Romans 8:29 is the work of the mass production. Let me say again, in Jesus, before his death, was the spirit of sin. What's the spirit of holiness? The spirit of sonship. The spirit of holiness was there within that little Jesus. And that spirit of holiness is just the divine essence of holiness. Then that essence has been what? Worked out of that Jesus through the death and resurrection process. Now, the principle is the same. We all have that divine essence of holiness, which is the spirit holiness, which is also the very Christ in our spirit. And now this holy essence is still concealed within our humanity. So we need to pass through a process that the inside essence of holiness could be, what? Could be worked out to saturate our whole being. And this is why we need so many things to work together. To afford us a process. You are a part of the process to me, no doubt. I am a great part of the process to you, all of you. Right. And the brothers just said, we need all one another. Right. We need all one another to be what? To be the process. You know, brothers, I am processing you, and you all are processing me. None of us, after contacting the church for a certain period, could be the same.
Right.
It is impossible.
Right.
It is impossible. Right. Why? Because in the church life, there is the process of designation.
Yes.
And this is the real sanctification.
Right.
And this is the real conformation. We are being transformed as well as conformed to the image of the Son of God, according to what? Not according to the teachings, not according to the forms, regulations, and so forth, but according to the spirit of holiness.
Amen.
And this spirit of holiness is just Christ himself. This is the divine essence of God's holiness, which is the very Son of God himself. And this essence is within us working organically to metabolize, saturate, permeate all of this. I believe so. I believe so. This is the way.
Ron, I'd like to spend more time on this process that we're talking about today. What does Witness Lee mean here that you are processing me and I am processing you?
Here we go on to a further explanation of this process of becoming designated sons of God. Inwardly, the Spirit of Holiness, through the Holy Spirit, is gradually saturating us. Now we need to take a step further. In Romans 8:29, we read about Christ, the firstborn son, having the preeminence. He's the firstborn among many brothers. And the many brothers of Christ are the many sons of God. Then let's point out something obvious. Verse 29 of Romans 8 is the continuation of verse 28. And in this verse, 28, Paul speaks of all things working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So along with the inner process of being sanctified by the indwelling Spirit, we need what Paul calls all things, a particular environment, our circumstances, the people in our lives, everything that happens to us. God, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, uses all these things, including other people, a matter we will emphasize now in a moment, to advance this process of being permeated with the holy nature of God. So among the all things are all people in our lives. So the Lord will use our spouse, our children, our parents, our siblings, as a means to facilitate this inward process of sanctification leading to designation. And then I, along with Matt and Brother Lee, are speaking from within the context of a church life. That's not once in a week. It's a day-by-day living. And now we have contact with, fellowship with, all kinds of believers. Because in keeping the oneness of the Spirit and the oneness of the body, we receive all genuine believers. We're not divided by anything related to culture or race or social class or nationality. So God in his wisdom brings all of us together, and the love for one another is increasing. We enjoy praising the Lord together, praying together, having the Lord's table together. But also there's this side, because we're different in temperament and disposition and things like that, we just affect one another. And sometimes we may not like the effect, but the Spirit uses this effect to open us more and to enable him to advance this process of sanctifying us, because in eternity past, according to Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen to be holy in Christ. Verse 5, we were predestinated unto sonship. That is to be mature, full-grown sons of God.
Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study.
Now, let's turn to Hebrew. Hebrew 2. The Lord this morning showed me these three verses. Verse 10 says, for it became him. for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sins not unto but into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He is bringing us into glory.
Amen.
By what way? Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified, who is the one that sanctifies?
Christ.
He is the one that sanctifies. And who are the ones that are sanctified? We are the one. Christ is the sanctifier, and we are the sanctified. Both what are of one. Who is this one? The Father. Christ, the sanctifier, is the firstborn Son of God. And we, the sanctified, are the many sons of God. And the firstborn son and the many sons are all of one Father. One source, one life, one nature, one essence. Verse 10 says, he is bringing us into glory. What is the way? The way is in verse 11. To bring us into glory is the sanctifier. Is the one that brings us into glory. And the way for him to do this job in bringing us into glory is to sanctify us. He is today the Spirit of Holiness. As the very divine essence of holiness working within your being, organically. He is not sanctifying you by teaching you, by regulating you,
Amen.
By correcting you,
Amen.
By adjusting you. No, 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 no. He is now sanctifying you by being the holy essence in you,
Amen.
Working organically to saturate your whole being with his being, to saturate, to permeate your whole being with his divine essence of holiness. He is doing it. He is sanctifying, and his sanctifying is his bringing. He is bringing all of us who are the Son of God into glory.
Amen.
By what way? By sanctifying us in the way of metabolism. I like to use this word. Because he himself is the sanctifying element. Working within you to saturate your whole being, layer after another layer, a part after another part, he is permeating all your being with himself as the divine essence of holiness. I say again, you just stay here in the church for some time, you get the saturation. And once you got saturated, I tell you, you have no way to wash it away.
Right.
Something has been wrought, has been organized into your being organically.
Amen.
Nothing can wash away whatever this holy essence has wrought into you. Nothing. Praise the Lord. This is the process of his sanctification, which works out the very conformation for glorification. Praise the Lord. He's working within us in such an organic way.
What a conclusion. This was a very meaty portion, and I'd like to ask you about the comment that we heard today that Christ is bringing us into glory by working himself or his very element into our being. I don't believe this is a common understanding among most believers. How does he accomplish such a thing?
We mentioned from Hebrews 2:10 that God is leading many sons into glory. And in the context of that verse, we also read of he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which cause he, the sanctifying one, Christ, is not ashamed to call us brothers. So Christ is bringing us into glory by working himself as this holy element into our being. This is a crucial process. God the Father will fulfill Hebrews 2:10. He will lead many sons into glory, but there's a process preceding that. That is the process of sanctification. When it's completed, we will be the sons in glory, and there will be the designation, these are sons of God.
This is a glorious process, and we've had a forerunner that has fully made it through this process, our Savior Christ in his humanity, designated and brought fully into divinity and glorification. Thank you, Ron, for your fellowship, another very rich life study from the book of Romans.
And thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to participate in this ministry.
We have another life study from the book of Romans, and we hope you'll join us for that. For Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.